Okay, let's get started. So, welcome, guys.
Yes.
Oh, right in the chat that we're starting. Yeah, you can let you guys know. So, first of all, I feel like maybe I talked about the Ramban, like introduction to the Ramban in general last year when we did the first Ramban. I don't know. But why do I feel so like the Ramban is so important? And I feel like many people feel the Ramban a la Torah is very important. I feel like in the Slavic Chaik Mishpacha, like the Ramban a la Torah is considered one of the foundational svarim that we should have in the desert island of the 15th story. That would be one of the svarim he would take with him. So why? So I think for me, and I can't speak for others, but I think for me, it's maybe two main reasons. One is that the Ramban is very complex. Meaning to say, I feel like, let's say there's certain mefarshim or rishonim, like Balei Machshava, who are very entrenched Torah Shebaal Peh, but their whole hashkafa is not very much influenced by like what was going on around them in the world in terms of science and philosophy, other things. Other Balei Machshava were very influenced by what was going on around them in the world, and a lot of what they wrote is kind of going to be about understanding Torah in light of, you know, the contemporary views in philosophy and science and things like that. I feel like the Ramban is very much aware of philosophy, of science, and he'll even discuss it a couple times in his Perush al Torah. He discusses it a little bit in Bereishis, he discusses it a little bit in Noach, and in other places. He'll like mention scientific theories and philosophical ideas, and either accept them, reject them, or explain how we understand the Pesukim in light of them. But the Ramban, at the same time, he's not coming to explain the Torah in light of philosophy or science. He's aware of it, and maybe he'll use it. He used it to understand things or have a new perspective on things, but he's complicated. He's both obviously one of the Gedolei Olam in terms of our Mesorah of Torah and Torah Shebaal Peh, and also Torah Shebichsav, but also very much aware of what was going on around him. At the same time, he was a Baal Machshav in Kabbalah, meaning like he's complicated. And I feel like in a few different ways, just the Ramban is almost like a middle path between like a lot of different extremes. He just takes everything, he's aware of everything. He's very open-minded. Let's say he'll be very much a staunch defender of Chazal with Ibn Ezra or somebody else is coming and questioning a Medrash or something like that. He'll be very harif about defending Chazal. But at the same time, he'll be open to giving other explanations, you know, aside from the Midrashim that Chazal suggested. And he'll do it with a lot of Yerush Shamayim and a lot of Anibus. And he'll say, you know, I see based on Rashi we're allowed to do this, I see based on Chazal we're allowed to do this, and I'll offer my own understanding. So the Ramban, is just in terms of his whole approach to the world, he's very complex and very much like taking from a lot of different influences and bringing it together. But also, it's just yesodistic. I mean, just like a lot of the ideas about, if it has to do with Teva and Nisim, if it has to do with Hashgacha Pratis, if it has to do with the role of Eretz Yisrael, and just many, many other ideas that the Ramban discusses. They're just yesodistic ideas. So it's just, and also we're always looking for like a good, you know, a good savior for the Parsha. So like when you have all that wrapped in one, like, it's just awesome. So, that's why I love, learning the Ramban. So let's jump in here. So I don't know if you guys know, I could say famous Ramban because there's lots of, I guess the Rambans I'm going to choose are probably going to be the more famous ones. But when I say famous, don't feel bad if you don't know what this Ramban is talking about. But you know, there's two tochachos in the Torah, these terrible curses that are going to happen to the Jewish people and they're going to go into Galus. One is in Vayikra, in the Chukosai, at the end of Vayikra, and one is Vayas, in Kisavo. So the Ramban has a whole mahalach. And to really appreciate what he's saying, you have to go through the Pesukim very carefully in both. But the Ramban says, why do we have two tochachos? Well, first of all, one was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, one was given by Moshe Rabbeinu. As we know that Devarim is Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning what exactly it is, and what does that mean? In what way is it different than the rest of the other four books of Torah is in the focus, exactly what this means. But on the most basic level, right, that Devarim is first person. It's Moshe Rabbeinu talking himself. And the rest of the Torah is third person. He's saying it in the voice of Hashem, meaning he's not talking from a personal perspective. But on the very most basic level, Bichukosai is Hashem giving the Tochacha, and in Kisavo it's Moshe Rabbeinu giving the Tochacha. But the Ramban has another, and he says, you look at also the content of the Tochacha, it's a little bit different. The way it describes how the Galus is going to take effect, when it's going to end, and all sorts of other details describing the Galus. So says the Ramban, the first Galus, the first Tochacha in Bichukosai is really about the first Chorban Beis HaMikdash. And the second tochacha, which is in our parsha, is really talking about our galus that we are in now and the return from that, the ultimate megula from this second long galus. That's the Ramban's whole yisod. So it's a long Ramban both here and there. So if you want to take, you know, check it out, it's a good thing to do on Shabbos afternoon. It'll take you a little while. But we'll start over here. So it says in the Torah, by us, Kafkas Mem Bet. So it says, in the middle of all the curses, right? Banim uvanos talid v'ilach. You're gonna have children; they're not gonna be to you. Meaning, they're gonna be taken by this power that came and is gonna send you to galus. Ki yelchu b'shevi, they're gonna be taken into captivity. Kol etzcha ufriad masecha yarash hatzlatzal. All of your fruit trees and your ground and your land will be inherited by the tzlatzal. Okay, so says Ramban, hatzlatzal. Adas Rashi mine ha'arba. According to Rashi, it's one of the types of locusts. They're going to come and just swoop in and eat all of your grain. V'im kein. The thing is that we mentioned like four psukim earlier, the idea of locusts. According to Rashi, it's a little bit strange that the pasuk is breaking it up with the discussion of going into galos and your children being taken captive, then going back to the locusts. The Yosher Nira says, Rabbi, he thinks what's more mistaber, shiatz hatzlatzal shem lemachaneh ha'oyev. If for those, probably not many of us, who have learned Sefer Yoel. So in Yoel, I forget if it's three prakim or four prakim, but the whole thing is a description of locusts, not the whole thing, I think like the last three prakim, or I forget. Like, it's all about locust plague.
Did Rabbi do that in
his Nachshir yet? I did it. Actually, Mirat Hashem, I give a Thursday night Nachshir in Yad Binyamin, going on for about 11 years, we are like two prakim left in Nevi'im, so we're about to make Yeah. We're Malachi. There only are three prakim. That's the thing. Yeah, we did the first of the three last week. We have two prakim left. A lot of it's talking about this intense locust plague. And it's machlokus of the mafarshim there, if it's literally locust plague or it's talking about an army. Because also, even there, like, it seems like even if it's talking about locust plague, it's using lashon of an army, and if it's army, it's using lashon of locust plague. Like, it was both. So I guess this image of, like, you know, locusts and army is kind of, from people's perspective, it was like the same kind of idea. They're coming and swooping in and just tearing everything apart. So that's what Ramban says. Yosar nira shiyetz latzal shem l'machaneh ha'ayev. It's this foreign enemy. Amar banim uvanos talib lo yulach. Right, the pasuk before says you're going to have children, and right, they're going to be taken away. La'avod oschal l'chalkel ha'shiftecha ki yelchu b'shevi l'tnei ha'ayev. V'amar kol etzcha v'yed ma'secha asher lo yisud l'cha peros kasher hiskir. And even the fruits, the trees in the land, which we already mentioned earlier in the Tochacha, are not going to be producing fruits like they used to. Yirash ha'ayev haba elecha. Whatever is left is going to be inherited, the same enemy that's going to come and send your children into galus, so they're going to come and also eat all your stuff. Dafka that year where the enemy is going to come, it's going to be relatively fruitful, the land, but then it's going to be taken away. It's going to be like it's going to be insult to injury. Dafka the year you have fruits, it's going to be taken away. Because they make a lot of noise. Okay, fine. Next, to go to the next paragraph. Veda ki atochachos. I'm sorry for those looking inside. It's going to be a bit of a jump. Veda ki atochachos b'ma'ara uvehuma uvmigaras uvedever va'eitz upri adam avshara kol hatochachos. So, if you look carefully at our tochacha, the description of the land just being decimated, it's being destroyed. Heim kulam ad kalosa oscha me'al ha'adama. The purpose is that you're not going to be able to stay there. The land is rejecting you, and you're going to have to leave. Sharta aval achrei hagalus. But once you were sent out of, if you look at the psukim, once you were sent out of galus, out of Eretz Yisrael into galus, you'll see you're not being punished so severely. What you're being told is that it says, like I was reading a pasuk, right? You're going to be like just going crazy with the terrible suffering you're seeing. I'm skipping a pasuk. Alright, and you're going to go there and you're going to serve idols, meaning you're going to have to be subservient to these idolatrous nations and you're going to be disgraced. But the intense punishment that we're talking about before, like you're going crazy and you're just suffering with boils and everything, that's going to stop. That's not referred to when you're in galus. Okay? So he says, first of all, you should know that looking at the psukim, when we're focusing on being in chutz la'aretz, the actual tocha is a little bit less intense. But second of all, we kind of are jumping back and forth, if you look at the psukim carefully. And we're going back to that your land, Eretz Yisrael, is not going to give you fruits again, even though you already sent it to Galus with your king, the pasuk before, or two psukim before, right? So first of all, it says in Lamed Vav, what we just read, you're going to be sent with your king into Galus. I don't know that much about the history of the Hasmonean dynasty and its terrible, tragic end. But we do know of some streets in Yerushalayim. There's Agrippus and there's some other streets. Those are kings. Those are kings from the end of the dynasty of the Chashmonaim. What's that? Yeah, and they're all from Hordus, and there's a whole, those who've learned Kiddushin and other Gemaras, there's a whole discussion if they're even Jewish. Maybe they're all descendants of slaves, and they were Jewish, but they weren't Roy to be kings. But anyway, the history, if you learn the history, so there is a lot of subservience to Rome, and the kings, when they were young, they would go to Rome, and they would be educated there, and they'd be brought up there, and then they'd come back and go back and forth. But there are different episodes of whole groups of Jews being said, no, you have to leave. You have to come to Rome and live there. The Romans would, when they thought, I guess, the Jews were getting too powerful, so they would take a lot of the elites, a lot of the nobility, and bring them to Rome to be there instead, so they wouldn't become such a force in Eretz Yisrael. So it says, Agrippus was sent to Rome. But then if you look back to Pasuk Lamed Ches, it says, it's talking about you're going to try very hard to plant it, it's not going to make so much fruits. So meaning, I thought you're in Rome. Like what's it talking about? But that's when you're in Eretz Yisrael. It says also you're going to be sent out of your land. It's weird. Like the flow is choppy. It's like you're in Eretz Yisrael and you're sent away, and it's going to be, you're going to be serving idolatrous nations, but then you're back in Eretz Yisrael all of a sudden, and then you're going to be sent away again. Like if you look at the psukim, there's a lot of back and forth. Shuagalos. So he says this is also part of the remazim of the history of the Churban of Bayis Sheni, because there were different waves of galus. In different ways, the different groups of Jews being taken to Rome, and then the ones who were left, either they would come back and then they would go again, or the other Jews would be taken back to Rome, right? If you look, there's all sorts of kings who are being taken away back to Rome, and it's okay. So it says the Ramban, I'm just going to the Va'amar Yisa Hashem Melech HaGoy Merachok, when he's quoting Pasuk Memtes, it's like a couple lines later. Yeah, you see? And Hashem's going to send the goy from non-Jewish nation from afar. Kibo aspasinus. It's what's his name? It's the Vespasian. But he just has a complicated name in Hebrew. Or maybe that was actually how it was originally said. Aspasinus. Vetitus, Bino, right? Vespasian and Titus came right from the time of the actual Korban. That is Goy Merachok who's coming to Eretz Yisrael. Miromim, Ba'eretz, V'lachdu kol Ari Yehuda Habitzuros. They're capturing all these cities that were already under siege. V'hitarlaem, Ma'od, Kashay, Edu, V'sfarim. If you read the history books, you'll know. You know, Josephus and other history books, you'll know the whole story of everything that was going on. Shalachdu gam chomos Yerushalayim, Lon Sharak Beis HaMikdash, Chomos Hazara. That first they captured the walls of Yerushalayim, and the only thing that was left was the Beis HaMikdash and the area around the Beis HaMikdash. Ochlim, Basar, Benem, V'noseim. We know from the Kinos, and we know from Josephus. Terrible tragedies. People were dying of starvation, and they were eating their children their dead children to survive. And then when that was finally captured, then you have what was saying in Pasuk Samach Gimel, that you're being sent away from the land again. Okay, etc. Let's see, where should we skip to? So he says, Aval, I'm sorry for guys looking inside the Ramban. Aval acharei hayosenu begalus be'aratzos oivenu. Right? Once, you should just know, says the Ramban, the psukim that are describing the when we are in Rome, we were in these other lands. Lonis kalu maasei adenu v'lo alpeinu v'asheros soneinu. There's no curses about the fields, like our work of our hands. There's no curses against our animals. Right? Things are going relatively well. V'lo krameinu v'zeseinu v'asher nizra basadeh. And nothing about our vineyards, nothing about the olive trees. Aval nachnu v'aratzos keshar ha'amim yoshu v'aratzahi. That we are being treated by a Kadosh Baruch Hu once we go into Galus, like all these other nations, I mean, you can say that we're not, meaning they're probably going to hate us a bit because they don't like Jews, and there's going to be anti-Semitism, but we're not, Hashem's not going to give us the tochacha. He's not going to curse us, dafka, that we should be suffering intensely there. It could be Hashem will even give us a special siyata d'shmaya there, and we're going to have more bracha in what we're trying to do, what we're trying to accomplish and profit with than the non-Jewish nations around us, because Hashem has rachmanus on us when we're in galus. Ki yeshivaseinu begalus yihavtacha she'amar lanu, our successful ability to survive in galus is part of Hashem's promise to us, where He says, "Vav zos biosav eretz avihem lo ma'asim v'lo ga'altim machalosam lachver b'siyitam kinei Hashem lokeinu." It says, when you're going to be in these foreign lands, I'm not going to be disgusted by you. I'm not going to be disgusted by you, to destroy you, because I am Hashem. Meaning to say that is going to be a special siyata d'shmaya dafka in galus kasher pirashu b'seder im b'chukosai. Kisod brisa zos v'chiu al zman galusinu hayom b'yad achai haravis. This whole tochacha is describing our experience in the hands of the fourth animal. This is a whole also mystical idea, but also an idea in Tanakh, in Sefer Daniel and other places. The idea that our galus now is this fourth, there are different waves of galus. We're now in the fourth wave. It's fourth animal. Which Rome? Which? No. Which animal were they? They were an ox.
Is this referring to like the Merkava?
I think they were an eagle, but maybe I'm wrong.
Is this referring to like the Merkava? Like what are you?
No. So it's not connected to the Merkava.
So it's the fourth.
They're just. I think it's just in by a certain animal.
I thought
it was a pig. I could be. I don't know. I didn't do Daniel yet. I'll let you know when that happens. And afterwards, we promise that we're going to go back to Eretz Yisrael. So I'm not even at the main point I want to get out of this Ramban yet. But what we see so far is just the idea. I mean, it's really Psukim Mifurashim that Kasher Yasser Ish Espano Hashem Elokecha Miyasrecha, that everything Hashem is doing in this Tochacha, which is incredibly intense and harsh, and it's been lived up throughout Jewish history, unfortunately, meaning in the Korban of the Bayis Sheni and in other waves of the Holocaust and other times, there's intense suffering of the Jewish people. So what's interesting, though, is the Ramban, I think, is getting at, is that all that is really being done through Hashem's love. In what way? Because when He said, if it was out of Hashem's hate for us, when He sent us into Galus, that should be the ultimate, like, He's like, okay, and stay out kind of thing. I mean, if He hates us so much, and that's where He's sending us into Galus, why would His love be, why would that be aroused when we're in Galus? But the idea is everything He's doing to us is to shake us up, is to make us suffer, to realize that we have to change our ways. And therefore, when we get into Galus, and there's the fear that we're just going to be totally lost, then Hashem says, no, that wasn't the point. I didn't want you to be totally lost. I wanted you to come close to me. And therefore, He's going to make sure that we're protected and we're having a certain bracha, because He's doing it, if he punishes us too intensely and pushes us aside too much, then we're just going to be lost. Hashem, no, that's not what I want. I wanted to wake you up. If that's not going to help, then I love you, and I'm going to try to, you know, take care of you. But it's interesting that comes out of the Ramban over here. But what I want to say is something a little bit more. So if you look at the other, we're not going to obviously read the entire Bichul Kosai because we have like 4 minutes. And there's also, I just gave you a page of Al HaTshuva. But what's interesting here, so you said it's also the whole Yisod that we were talking about, that the Bichul Kosai is referring to Bayis Rishon, and this is referring to Bayis Sheni. So he says, I'm trying to see where he talks about the going back from Galus. Oh yeah, I guess it's so if you look at the page, the Amar Begalus, right? Psukim Lamed Dal Lamed Hey, so it's talking about Bichul Kosai. Az Teratze Haaretz Es Shabsosea. When it's talking about returning from the Galus, in the Tochacha of Bichul Kosai, it says, and once the land has been appeased for all of the Shemitahs that were not observed, then you're going to come back. It'll be desolate, connected the years it was not desolate for Shemitah. It says explicitly in Devar HaYamim, in regards to the Korban Bayis Rishon. There were 70 years, because there are 70 cycles of Shemitahs that were not observed properly. So that it's clear in the Tocha Bichul Kosai, it was a very mukbal, it was a very limited Korban. That's what they were warned about. That's exactly what happened. That's what it was referring to. So now go down the Hagula Babris Hashenis, the bottom. So, right, we're skipping, so we can't get the full effect. But when if you look at our parsha in Kisavo, what is the geula from that? Geula shlema me'olam al kulam. So me'ula, sorry, al kulam. If you see also, I'm skipping some of his diukim from Bichukosai, but the way the geula is described in our, it's not really in our parsha because I think it's in Nitzavim. Because the whole discussion of this toch actually goes on for a little while. But if you go to Perek Lamed, it says, what's the conclusion? All these things happen to you, the bracha and the kala. I'm going to do good to you and make you greater than your fathers. This is a bracha for all of Am Yisrael, not just the two shvatim. Not just the six who came back after Bayis Rishon. Sham meaning by our parsha. Hashem promised, Hashem is going to punish and destroy those who sent us to the galus. Nemar, benasan Hashem alechas kola alos halil alivecha v'also necha asher advucha. Hashem will put the curses upon our enemies. Binei vecha v'tzonecha ramas l'shteha umos asher yirdifu tamin acharenu. And this double lashon in our parshan Kisavo is a reference to the two nations of Edom and Yishmael. Ve'ele dvarim yavtichu beula asida avtacha shleim yos mikol chazyonos Daniel. If read our parshios carefully in Devarim, it's a greater promise, the ultimate geula, than all the explicit nevuos in Daniel. V'chein mash amar bekan, what it says, now going to Vayikra, v'shamu lecho ayveichem, okay, that's something else. Okay. So, what's interesting though, and this, really to get the full effect, aval habrit, so Mishneh Torah, he says, yirmez legalusinu zev, v'legeula shenegal yimenu, ki histakalnu t'chila shalon yirma sham keitz v'ketzev l'vtiach v'geula, rak talo sovitshuva. So says Ramban, and also, not only is the geula in our parsha more final, but also it's not promised. Meaning it's not like it's going to happen after 70 years after the Shemitahs are appeased. It's that once you do tshuva and Hashem will bring you back, you have the ultimate geula. So what I want you guys to do for homework, you can now check out Ala Tshuva, pages 95-96. I'm going to say mamish al achas because we only have a minute. But to get the full effect, I recommend reading the whole piece because actually 97 is very beautiful, the continuation. But Rav Soloveitchik asks a question which could be asked for the Ramban as well. The question is that it's a machlokes, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, about how the ultimate geula is going to take place. Is it going to be dependent on tshuva, or is it not going to be dependent on tshuva? And the way that the Ramban paskins, it's like Rabbi Eliezer, that it's when tshuva happens. That's how the Ramban reads our psukim as well. It's all dependent on tshuva. If that's the case, so why are we so sure the geula is ever going to happen? If it was after 70 years, then we know Hashem promised it to us. But if it means once we take the initiative to return to Him, so who says it's going to happen? Meaning, well, why is it promised it's definitely going to happen? So the beautiful yesod of Rav Soloveitchik for the Rambam, which I think could be said for the Ramban as well, is that part of our emuna that the geula will happen is really an emuna in ourselves. It's an emuna in the goodness of Am Yisrael. That really, all of us, at our core, are really good, holy people. And many of us we're distracted, or we're confused, or maybe we're in a rut. But every one of us, to various extents, are really good, holy people. And Rahman al-Islam, hopefully it won't take a tragedy to arouse us. Hopefully it'll be something which is inspiring that it'll arouse us. But all of us, if there's going to be a moment when Hashem decides, you know what, the time has come that they should do tshuva, then there'll be something that can make us do tshuva, in the sense that we will eventually come back to Hashem. Us as, not that every single one of us, but us as a community, us as Am Yisrael, we will, because we're good and we're holy, and that's who our true selves are. So even though sometimes we forget that, and sometimes we lose our focus because of other things which are a little bit more sparkly and glittery and seem more exciting, but that's not the MS. Eventually, because we really are looking for MS in the deepness of our souls, we'll find it. So says the Rav Soloveitchik, that kind of the emuna in the geula for the Rambam and for the Ramban, if it's dependent on tshuva, it's really an emuna in the goodness of ourselves. We all be zochet to discover the goodness in ourselves and in others. Okay, Ad Kan.